Happy June, everybody. It's June 1st, 2021. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, which, as you know, is the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Everything we do is over at ACE-ED.org, American Consortium for Equity in Education. We like to think we do a pretty good job over there, and you'll see for yourself if you go over, you'll see the brand new issue, literally today, the day after Memorial Day, our June issue of Equity and Access magazine. Equity and Access Pre-K-12 is its official title, and it is a 90-page issue filled with incredible information about equity. That is our 100% focus, that and access. And we say access, we don't just mean ramps and schools. We also mean access to education, access to broadband, all that sort of stuff. You'll love the issue. Big article, okay, on how female CEOs in the education industry, okay, are impacting our industry in pre-K-12 education. It's really a nice issue, a lot of stuff on SEL and all the usual suspects. And we archive every podcast there, which we'll do with this one too, ace-ed.org, and everything we do over there is free. I have a special treat for you and for myself today. An old friend is here with us. Mike Flood, okay, is the senior VP over at Kijit. Okay, he's going to tell us all about what Kijit does. But Mike has been a friend of mine for years. He was on the show years ago. He's so involved in ed tech, working with COSIN and CETA and all these wonderful groups. And Mike, I can't tell you how happy I am to have you back here. It's Larry here, buddy.
It's great to talk to you again, Larry. Thank you.
I mean it sincerely, Mike. It's been too damn long, and we haven't seen each other at all, what with the pandemic and all the conferences going and all that sort of thing. It's just great to have you here. I want you to position Kijit, and everybody, that's K-A-J-E-E-T. You probably all know what it is. But position Kijit. Tell it what it is. Tell us what you do over there and all with the pandemic, and then we'll get into the rest of the stuff. Go ahead, Mike.
Sure. Sure, thank you. So,
you're
Kijit,
welcome.
Excuse me?
I said you're welcome.
Thank you. we've been focused at Kijit for the last decade, actually more than a decade now,
yes,
on connecting students to broadband when they're not in school. So I came to the company in 2011, early 2011. The company's actually been focused on kids and technology for over 15 years. We built essentially the business in working with schools, libraries, and colleges to make sure that those students who left school and didn't have internet access, you know, who were caught in the homework gap, to make sure that we got them connected so that those students could compete and succeed in the way that
yeah.
their peers who did have that access could do. And that's what we've been doing for over 10 years.
And I want to say something. Yes, Kijit has been doing it, but I got to say this again. Mike has been doing it. You are, and I mean this sincerely, my friend, you are one of the leading voices out there, okay, in equity and access to broadband. You, okay, and, you know, I know you represent the company, but I've never seen anyone so deadlocked on trying to get this done year after year. And I just realized you started with Kijit in 2011. I remember meeting you, and that's when I started the podcast so many years ago now, 10 years now, for goodness sakes.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. I don't know about you. I don't age. Do you age? I don't age. It's amazing.
I try not to.
Good. It's just astounding out there. You know, I just want to tell you my line, which you may or may not heard. For years, we've been pushing this, kicking this can down the road, this whole idea of broadband for everybody, access for everybody. And finally, when that pandemic hit, we got to the end of the road, and we found out it was a cliff, all right? And so far, and so many kids got hurt for too darn long, and hopefully a lot of it corrected. Talk about Kijit and the pandemic and your thoughts on all that and learning during the pandemic, broadband access, et cetera. Mike.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last year was crazy. You know, it was a transformative year for so many schools and so many families in many ways. Obviously, some of them better than others.
Yeah.
We started the year working with over 1,000 school districts. We were already active in every state in the United States, and we had expanded into Canada just, you know, the year or two prior. And by the time we got to the end of last year, we were working with almost 3,000 school districts. You know, every state in the United States and the District of Columbia, every province in Canada. And actually, we launched Kijiji UK over in Europe. So very busy time. You know, I think for me, as somebody who's helped build the business here along with the founders of Kijiji, you know, we were fortunate to be in a place where we could help so many students and so many schools, you know, with this problem at the time that it happened. But, you know, the awareness level is completely changed. You know, we've been fighting the homework gap for, you know, for the past 10 years, but
yes, you have.
You know, the vast majority of the population was just unaware of how many millions of students were caught in the homework gap. And when suddenly everything had to be remote and they saw how many students couldn't connect, they all became much more aware, much faster than ever before. And that applied to, you know, everyone from policymakers to parents to school board members to superintendents. And, you know, they all became much more aware of the scope of the problem. And I think now that we have that awareness, obviously it's not just solving for the remote learning we've been doing here this school year, but it's also making sure that we don't slide back into the homework gap after the pandemic.
And you make a very good point. We think all this, and we knew this. A lot of people think all this, a heartbreak of access, or it started with the pandemic. But we've been talking about that homework gap for, I'll say, 10 years, okay, and probably longer.
Yeah.
All right? And, you know, again, it was just kicked down the road, then suddenly it affected everybody. All right, everybody.
It did, yeah, and it didn't just affect the students who didn't have access. But, you know, you had students who, you know, I have kids, and my kids, I'm very fortunate. We have great connectivity because, of course, I work in the technology industry.
I was going to say
but, you know, when my kids go to when my kids go to their remote class and, you know, a third of the students don't show up for class because they don't have the connectivity, it impacts them too, right? So it impacts everybody.
It really does. And, Mike, you mentioned the phrase. You said, we're now working with over 3,000 school districts. And I want you to define working with your Kijiji, again, K-A-J-E-E-T, like everybody in the world doesn't know that, okay? But if you don't, you should, okay, Kijiji.com. But, Mike, when you say working with, what is Kijiji actually doing with those school districts?
Sure. So what we're most well known for is actually providing what's called a Kijiji Smart Spot. That's the product we're most well known for. So it's like a normal hotspot that you would get from a carrier, you know, with, you know, lights up Wi-Fi for a student and then uses the cellular networks to provide access. But the Kijiji Smart Spot is very different. It's built for education. It is built for a student. Everything from the way it's physically built and packaged, the way that the access to the internet is actually managed for educational use to be safe and secure and protected for those kids, to keep them on task, to provide real-time analytics and visibility to the school of what they're doing and how they're using it. So we're most well known for that, but we're also the number one provider of Wi-Fi on school buses, which we do in over 1,000 school bus seats across the U.S. and Canada, and then we're also doing other types of devices like, you know, Chromebooks with LTE connections built into them, or Windows laptops, where they're giving the student a computing device that actually has the connectivity built into it, and we're managing those connections in the same way. So really anywhere that they want to be able to use broadband, they want to expand broadband access for students, you know, we're in there. We're involved in that.
You are, and you're not only involved in what people will see, and I want you to talk about this for a second. You, I know this, you're involved. Are you still on the board at COSIN?
I actually just recently stepped down from my second term. So I spent 6 years on their board and just stepped down in March.
Yeah. Thank you for putting in all that effort. Thank you for your service, as we like to say. I do appreciate
it was
that.
Fantastic and time.
Yeah. They love you, too. I know that as a fact. Okay. But because we work with COSIN and all these groups a lot. But CETA, COSIN, State Ed Tech Directors, COSIN, Consortium School Networking, ISTE's another one. Okay. But talk about how these associations, Mike, and you work with them, all right, and federal policy, okay, and how we're looking at federal policy. How's that changing right now? I hope for the better.
Yeah, I think so. So all of the associations, you know, the ones who represent the practitioners, the ones who represent technology leaders like COSIN does and state leaders like CETA does, and many others, they all worked very well together during the pandemic to help policymakers really understand the scope of the problem and what needed to be done to solve it in a very short amount of time. So, you know, the legislation that we saw come out last summer in the CARES Act, you know, in the winter with CARISA, and most recently with the American Rescue Plan, you know, all of that, all of those major, you know, investments included funding for education, and all of that education funding included specific language to support connecting students with devices and broadband access. And so the associations were hugely influential in helping policymakers, you know, understand what was needed to make sure every student could continue to learn during the pandemic. And now they're being influential today too in helping to drive the conversation about, you know, the future, and that we can't let what we've learned here go to waste and have this potential slide backwards.
You know, and that actually brings up an interesting point, and this is not meant to be a political question, but I guess it's going to wind up being that way, but I'd just like your thoughts on it, okay? President Biden has put out the trillions of dollars, okay, and he wants to include broadband in the infrastructure. Obviously, you and I'm saying obviously, I haven't asked you, but I'm assuming you're in favor of this, okay? Some people are not, all right? And I still don't understand that, knowing what we know, knowing what we're talking about right now. Why do you suppose that is? I know that's a tough question, but why would they be? We know that we need this broadband access. I always compare it to electric access, TVA work in the 30s. We need it now in our current 20s. Yet some people are resistant. And are you hearing from any of the folks who have been resistant to this and why they are?
Well, I think actually broadband itself is an issue that has broad bipartisan support. And I think it's for different reasons. You know, there are some people for whom it's a focus on, you know, equity, and it's a focus on the ability for, you know, all people in America to have access to equal opportunity, to allow more economic and social mobility. So there's a lot of reasons that you hear on that side. On the other side, it's also about our economic competitiveness. It's about the future of the company, the future work, the first company, the country, the future workforce, you know, our competitiveness with, you know, entities like China. So I think broadband has broad bipartisan support. Now, how we get broadband to every American, that's where things get more, you know, sticky. You know, how much of that should be government-led? How much of that should be private industry-led? You know, should it be, you know, broadband for everything? You know, should it be just, you know, open internet access for everyone? Or should it be, you know, managed and purpose-driven for specific public sector uses? I mean, I think that's where more of the details start to get harder to work out between the two sides. But, you know, they are being worked out. And what we've seen now is, incredible amounts of funding that we've never seen before to make sure that every student is connected, whether it's the Emergency Connectivity Fund from the FCC, which is a kind of once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, I think, for schools to get every student, you know, equipped with the right technology, or whether it's even the money that was in the elementary and secondary schools education, Emergency Response Act, ESSER, you know, that money, which can be used to provide multiple years of connectivity for students throughout an entire school district.
You know, it's absolutely amazing, and I loved your answer, because too many people, you only hear the tip of the iceberg, if I may, all right? And people may think that they're just against broadband. But your answer helped to clarify that it's more the how we're going to do it versus the why we're going to do it, okay? And that's
right,
where we got
right.
to get it together and make it happen. That was a great answer. I appreciate your insight on that. You mentioned American Rescue Plan. You mentioned, talk about, are there any other programs that we need to know about that schools should be aware of, particularly schools?
Yeah.
For broadband.
Yeah, so I think that there are a lot of programs that provide the ability to focus on ed tech specifically and broadband. The biggest ones right now, I mean, certainly everyone's talking about the Emergency Connectivity Fund right now,
mm-hmm.
because that was announced just recently by the FCC. The application window will be opening soon. We don't have the exact date yet, but we're expecting it to be within the next month. And that is specifically to fund devices and broadband connectivity for every student. That's specifically what it is for, $7.1 billion in that particular fund, right? So that is a huge focus right now. But the three rounds of ESSER funding, there were three rounds. There was CARES, CARISA, and the ARP. All three of those had rounds of funding that were added into ESSER to help schools connect students, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of those have allowable uses, as did the governor's Emergency Education Response Fund, because that's GEAR, and the Higher Education Emergency Response Fund, or HEAR. All of those programs had funding to help connect students for remote learning. There was also specific funding that was passed under ARP focused on homeless children and youth. So, you know, that's a targeted population that obviously you have to use a different approach, a more mobile broadband-based approach for that population, because they don't have permanent homes to put, you know, a cable modem at or something. And then there's also capital funds out there, like the Capital Projects Fund and allowable uses under the State and Local Fund and the Tribal Broadband Connectivity Fund. So there's a lot of these different programs that can support broadband.
And is there any place where all of these are listed so that Mr. or Ms. Johnson at the school district, okay, a school board member or whoever, can go on the web
mm-hmm.
and say, here's the list. Is it at the Kijit site, or where would it all be?
Kijit is providing a lot of that, yes. So we have a funding page, which we're updating with information. So a lot of that can be found on the Kijit website, or they can obviously reach out directly to one of our staff people who can get them all of the information on all these different sources of funding. It is complicated, you know, in the sense that there have been many different programs launched within the past year that didn't exist before. So it certainly isn't simple, but the information is available, and we always provide not just our take on these funds, but we provide links back to all the source documents, like what's actually being said by the Department of Education or the FCC or the Department of Agriculture or the Bureau of Indian Education. You know, like we link back to their specific sites so that they can see the original source documents for all of it.
And you know, it's so amazing. You mentioned all these groups, tribal, BIA, Bureau of Indian Education, etc. But the one that always strikes me: homeless kids. Okay, there are so many kids who are homeless, and they have real opportunity if we can get the opportunity to them. It's brutal out there right now, and it just, the pandemic showed it all up. Speaking of grants, okay, you got your own grant program. It's called a Digital Inclusion Grant. And I know the deadline's coming up. Explain, Miguel.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm so proud of this. You know, before the pandemic, Kijit ran a program every year that we called the Homework Gap Grant. And school districts could apply, and they would submit a story about what they're trying to do to connect their students. And we gave out more of those grants every year. And then during the pandemic, obviously, we were incredibly focused on getting everyone connected all over the country. But this year, we're turning that back on, and we're turning it on with this new name, the Kijit Digital Inclusion Grants, which kind of recognizes a broader scope of what's needed in order to get every student connected. and also focused on making sure that we're really focused on every student, right? And so the Digital Inclusion Grant, that application window is open right now. You can find that information on the Khajiit website as well. We are encouraging, you know, everybody who touches the lives of students to consider applying here. So it's not just schools, although schools are probably the biggest audience, but it's schools, libraries, local communities and nonprofits, even cities and counties that have programs serving those students. Higher education, so we've seen a lot of community colleges and universities starting to think about connecting college students who don't have the right access. So all of these entities are able to apply, even Native American tribes.
Okay, it's so important, by the way. I apologize for coughing a minute ago. I have a little bit of asthma here today. Okay, so for everybody, forgive me on that one. I thought my mic was off. It was not when that happened. Okay, I usually can cover that, but this time I just made a boo-boo, and I apologize, okay? The Khajiit Digital Inclusion Grant, if I may, Mike, DIGIT, D-I-G. Have you done that
yet? That's correct, yeah.
Thank you. DIG, D-I-G?
Yeah, Khajiit Digital Inclusion, and they can find that. We've been tweeting about it. They can look at the Khajiit Twitter or my Twitter. And they can also just search on our website. The deadline for applications is June 4th, so there's a few days left here. We might be extending that deadline, but right now it still shows as June 4th. And really just encourage everyone to go and look at it. The application's not that hard at all, and we anticipate giving out, you know, more this year than we've given out in any prior year before. So I really encourage everyone to apply.
But you didn't – a DIG, Digital Inclusion Grant, dig it. Are you doing DIGIT,
yeah, that's
D-I-G?
Right.
Yeah,
that's
there
right.
You go. Okay.
Yes, do you dig it? Do you dig it, Larry?
I wanted to give another acronym in there, because if one thing education lacks, it's acronyms. Okay, so we got a new one now. Dig it, the digital inclusion grant. What's the criteria for the grant? I'll just ask it that way. What would be the criteria?
This is really focused on getting students connected, right? So we're going to provide either Khajiit Smart Spots or Wi-Fi on school buses, or even Wi-Fi in fixed locations, you know, that's where they need it, like community centers or parks. So they can apply for any of those types. And what they really need to tell us about is tell us about the problem in their community and what they are trying to do to solve it. It's open to, you know, any type of entity who is trying to solve that. So they will tell us what kind of organization they are. You know, are they a school or a tribal school or a higher education institution, a public library? And they will describe what their current, you know, online virtual programs look like, including summer learning programs, which many entities are thinking about that right now. And how digital equity is important to them. So they really need to express that. They will also tell us about the challenges that they've experienced with getting students connectivity at home and how many students they think that impacts, how they identify those families, and then how they think they would use the solutions from us to make an impact in their community. And once they kind of give us all of that information, then that's the application, and we have whole team who will be looking at these from across the country and deciding on awards probably within the next month or so.
Oh, that's good. And they need it. I have to ask you this, Mike, because you're so on top of this. All right. By the way, everybody, that's at Khajiit.com, K-A-J-E-E-T, Khajiit.com. Mike, you've been in this for a long time now. We've aged together. What really surprised you? When the pandemic hit, and again, you know there's a lot of kids without access, but was there anything that really surprised you as the pandemic hit and as we went through it?
Well, I think we were surprised by the number of students who also didn't have a computing device. You know, so a lot of schools have made a lot of progress, you know, with moving towards one-to-one and getting every student a device. For a lot of schools, those devices were still staying at school, you know, so they lived on, you know, Chromebook carts, for example, in the school building, which they had to rapidly shift to figure out how to get those devices out of those carts and into the hands of kids who could take them home. So, you know, it surprised me how much needed to be done in terms of getting the devices as well as the connectivity, because, you know, I have been focused for 10 years on the connectivity, but there was a lot that had to be done with devices. But it also surprised me at how well the communities came together to solve this problem. You know, really a lot of school from individual practitioners who work in the schools to parent communities to volunteer efforts, sometimes at the local level, sometimes at the state level, really came through together to solve this during the crisis. And that kind of also leads to my biggest fear, which is that as the crisis subsides, you know, we heard Memorial Day weekend, you know, everything reopening, et cetera.
Yep.
You know, we've
yep.
also heard from some schools who are saying, well, you know, we're bringing the kids back to the classroom.
Yeah.
And so now we don't have to worry about broadband anymore. And it's, that's a big risk because those kids are right back in that homework gap.
Yeah. We have to learn a lesson from all this. I cannot emphasize that enough. And if we don't learn a lesson from this, we're in bigger trouble than I thought we were. All right? So
that's right. We should have a standard. Yeah. We should just have a standard, you know, that every student has to have connectivity to learn.
Right.
You know, I always say it as every student always connected for learning, wherever they want to engage in their learning. And by the way, before the pandemic, we saw that students were very mobile, right? I mean, during the pandemic, we've thought about kids as being trapped in their homes. But that's not actually the life of a kid outside the pandemic. You know, outside the pandemic, they're at after-school activities or after-school jobs or both their parents work and they go stay with family members. I mean, they're all over the place.
The ability for students to
engage in learning anywhere they are is really critical.
Right, and what's a great point, they needed it before, they needed it during, and they need it even more after the world has changed. Okay, and we can't get stupid about this and put our heads back in the sand and wait for the next pandemic or whatever. Okay, it's just amazing.
Okay.
So I want everybody to go over Kijit.com, their digital inclusion grants. I'll say it again. Can you dig it? All right. Mike, this is great. It's great information. You are amazing. I said that to you all along. I've known you for a long time. Okay, and hopefully I will see you at a conference at some point. Hopefully they'll come
I
back
hope
to
so
life.
Too, yes. And really appreciate you having me on today, Larry. The work you're doing with ACE and the work you've done with this talk show for years has been really great at getting word out to so many people.
Well, we try, kiddo, but it's I'll say this. I'll just go back at you, okay? I know you will.
Thank you.
All right. You
Thank
take
you,
care.
Larry.
Stay safe. Have the kid. Take care of the kids this summer, all right? I hope I see you soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mike. Bye. Mike Flood, everybody, Kijit, this is a good company, okay, K-A-J-E-E-T, it was founded by good people, and they've done more, okay, to make sure kids, teachers have access, okay, anywhere they are, and they just do a magnificent job. And I'll tell you, Mike, he's an old friend, I sound like I'm gushing, but I never saw anybody work so hard to get this stuff done. Okay, and it's part of his business, but I'm telling you, it's part of his lifestyle. All right, check out these digital inclusion grants. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Our Consortium for Equity, the brand new issue is up there of Equity and Access. Great issue, all about the big feature story, not all about, but feature story on female CEOs and how they're reshaping our industry. It's really good. Okay, so enjoy that. Everything else we do, I'm Larry Jacobs, Pre-K-12. Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Thank you, Mike.